Bibles, if you've got them, I hope you do, turn to two places. We're going to start in Luke 16 and also turn to Revelation chapter 6. Luke 16 is where we're going to start, and then Revelation chapter 6 is where we'll go. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we open up His Word, because that is where we want to focus. We want to focus on His Word as God speaks to us through His Word, and He comforts us and guides us, and we look forward to seeing what He has for us today. Let's pray. Lord, we are looking for a city that is going to be our permanent home, the New Jerusalem. And we look forward to that day, Lord, where we'll see You, we'll see our Savior face to face. We will see loved ones and people that have gone on before us. We are so thankful for Your grace and mercy in our own lives, Lord, that we have this future. So, Lord, speak to us through Your Word. May we be comforted. May we readjust our focus to be focusing on our home in heaven, not on this world. So give help, Lord. We need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So this past year, I have been thinking of death. I'm speaking of 2023. It was a year that I wasn't expecting death to come my way. We all know that death and taxes are inevitable as tax season approaches. But I never really experienced death up close and personal. Now, my grandparents are all passed away, but my grandparents lived in Pennsylvania, and I saw them maybe twice a year, probably for my whole life. My grandparents, I knew them, but I saw them twice a year. That was it for my whole life, basically. But death came home to me this year. As some of you know, so my dad passed away. The man who married me on this very stage 27 years ago, who, because he was marrying me, I didn't have him as my best man. My dad was my best man in life. It's the man that I did not want to disappoint. Somebody I care a lot about. And he had cancer, and it's that disease that just hits, and there's no cure. And he went into the hospital. I don't know what I've told you in talks before, but he went into the hospital, and we were expecting him to come home. I mean, he was going in for a procedure that was going to make him feel a lot better. And the next thing I knew, he was coming home, but with hospice there to help him be comfortable before he died. And he lived at the house for 3 days, and he was gone. And I just wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that. This was my dad. He was going in to get help. And next thing I know, he's gone from this earth, but he's in heaven, and I look forward to the day when I'll see my dad again. And then this one may sound a little funny, but it's still family. When after 12 years of having Bailey in my life, in my house, I'm speaking of my dog. Now that might sound a little funny to you, but that dog was family. And that one hit me in the stomach. Somebody who I lived with. That was my dog. That sounds funny, doesn't it? It's just a dog. No, that's family. And that one hit me. My point is, I've been thinking about death. We're all going to die. Where are we going to go after death? We've been singing of heaven. And I hope today that you can say with confidence that when you die, you will be with Jesus in heaven. Because not everybody goes to heaven. And it's a very serious thing to not go to heaven. But I want to talk about what heaven is like, and we want to also talk about how you can know for sure that you're going. You know, the Bible wants us to, and I don't, is that thing on there? I don't know how to get rid of that. Please, okay, thank you. Oh, there it went away. Did you see that thing? I was like, how did that thing get on there? When we think about heaven, some people know how to get there, but they don't know what it's like when we get there. What will heaven be like? I know how to get there. Praise God, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus. But what's heaven going to be like? I'm not sure. Some people have an idea that church, that heaven will be just a one eternal church service. And that's it. That's all we're going to do is have church. And so, now don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. We will worship Jesus, and He is worthy of our worship. But some people think, well, after the first 100 million years, what else are we going to do? Right? And so some people think that that's all it is. And so therefore, some people think that heaven will be boring, and so therefore, they're not excited about going. And that's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to be excited about our home. Right? Where we're going. Some people, I don't know where they get this one from. But we're just going to sit on clouds and strum harps and just float around. Some people think we won't even be us. That we'll just maybe be like the angels and we're just going to kind of float and just kind of, you know, just, or will we recognize each other? And a lot of questions, right? Now, God doesn't specifically tell us everything about heaven. But He has given us things and He wants to encourage us to where we will keep our minds on our home and be excited about our home. Right? Now, this is an important question. What is heaven like? The Bible tells us this. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the people who are dead, those who are asleep, and who have gone on to glory. In other words, I want you to know some things about where they're at so that you won't be sorrowful as other people who don't know Jesus are sorrowful at death, who have no hope. I don't want you to be ignorant about heaven. I want you to know. I want you to be ready. I want you to be confident. I want you to be excited about where you're going. Because Paul says it is much better in heaven than on this earth. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to depart to be with Him because it's going to be so much better there than it is here. So it's an important question. It's an important question. But can we really know? Can we really know what heaven is like? Some people use this verse as a verse to say no. And this is the verse. As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard. In other words, no one knows. Nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And they'll use this verse and they'll say, see, no one has seen it. Nobody's heard about it, what the truths are about heaven. And we just don't know. But what you got to do is read the very next verse. So you go from verse 9 to verse 10. So verse 9 says, we're not sure, but look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit, through His Word. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. So the point is that no one has ever seen heaven. We're not sure. But then the next verse, aren't you glad that God, the Holy Spirit, has given us His Word so that we can know some things, right? Again, not exclusively. There's going to be so many surprises in heaven. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to those surprises too. We're going to see Jesus. That will not be a surprise. And that'll be something that'll be first on our list, where we worship our Savior. We will love seeing Jesus, our Savior. After seeing Jesus, I'll be looking for my dad. Can't wait to see him again. And there'll be other surprises which God has for us. But the Bible does tell us some things about heaven. And, you know, the Bible says that there are actually four heavens. Now, you say, whoa. What you talking about here? Well, the first heaven is the sky around us, the blue sky, right? The birds of the heavens, right? The Bible tells us that the birds are in the heavens. It's the atmosphere around us. It's the blue skies. That's the first heaven. If you get up early in the morning and you look up in the stars, you're looking at the second heaven, which is not the blue heavens, but it's the starry skies. That's heaven number two. The Bible tells us, for the stars of heaven and their constellations, where the planets are, that's the second heaven. The third heaven is where God is. The Lord looks from heaven, from His dwelling place, and this is the third heaven. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. John, who wrote Revelation, was caught up into the third heaven. It's where Jesus is. And there's coming a day when our home, this is not the third heaven where my dad is right now, is not our home. Where Welcome Detweiler is, it's not our home. That's our temporary, that's a temporary home. But one day, the new heaven, which is our home, will come down. Heaven will join earth. The new heavens and the new earth. The new Jerusalem will come. And that'll be our permanent home. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And that'll be the dwelling place of God with man on earth. The new heaven, the new Jerusalem. Today in our talk, we want to focus on the third heaven. Lord willing, this year I'll be coming back to speak, and I want my whole year this year is I want to speak on heaven. I just feel strongly after reading. I read a book this summer, started reading it by Randy Alcorn. Very simple title, highly recommend it to you, called Heaven. Highly recommend it. And after reading that book, I just felt like the Lord said, you know, that's what you need to speak on this year. You need to speak on heaven. We need to get excited about where we're going. What is heaven like? And so today we want to focus on the third heaven, which is just a temporary place. It is not our permanent home, but it's where you go when you die, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Let's look at God's Word, shall we? Let's look at Luke chapter 16 to start off with. And Jesus tells a story about the third heaven. Okay? All right, so let's read God's Word. This is God speaking. Luke 16. Jesus is speaking here, starting at verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And at his gate there lay a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell, where this guy was, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Hey, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, hey, remember in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things? But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you, they cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there, where you are, to us." And he answered, Well, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. Because I've got five brothers. And let them warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and they have the prophets." In other words, they have the Bible. "Let them listen to the Bible. Let them listen to them." "Oh, no, Father Abraham," he said. "But if someone from the dead goes to them, oh boy, they will repent then." Very sobering words in verse 31. Then he said to them, "If they don't listen to the Bible, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." What happens when you die? Well, did you catch it here? There were two men. There was Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus, when he died, he had trusted Jesus as his Savior, and he went to heaven. But the rich man, he hadn't died. He hadn't trusted Jesus as his Savior, and so when he died, his body was buried, and his soul went to hell. Right now, you can go to my father's grave. It's in South Carolina, and my dad's body is sitting in a suit. And it's pretty well, it's starting to disintegrate pretty good. He's been in there, his body has been in there since April. So it's probably pretty smelly, pretty gruesome looking. I probably wouldn't want to see my dad's body right now. But my dad's not in there. That was just a shell. But that's where the body goes. When you die, your body goes into the ground. But the spirit goes either to heaven or hell. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this place is called Sheol. It's the place of the dead. In the New Testament, it's called Hades. And so, in Jesus' story here of Lazarus and the rich man, it's Hades. Normally, when we think Hades, we just think hell. And that's fine. But technically, Hades had an upper compartment and a lower compartment. And there was a line through the middle of it, right? And those in the lower compartment could not get to the upper compartment, and those in the upper compartment could not get to the lower compartment. Jesus called it paradise, the upper compartment. In fact, remember when Jesus was on the cross, he looked over at the thief who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, what? Today, you're going to be with me. Your body is going to be placed in a tomb. But today, when you die, you'll be with me. Because of your faith, you're going to be with me in paradise. The Bible says that when you die, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're absent from the body. Your soul, your spirit goes away from your body and goes into God's presence, which is paradise. You are present with the Lord in the third heaven. But now, if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, your body also goes into the ground, and your spirit, your soul, goes to hell. Now, this is very serious. Oftentimes at funerals, they don't want to say anything bad about the dead. And so sometimes the preacher just preaches everybody into heaven. We're all in a better place. We're all in a better place. That's only true for those who've trusted Jesus. You cannot preach people into heaven if they haven't trusted Jesus. You see, we're all sinners. Every one of us. I never had to teach my two daughters how to sin. It came naturally from their mother and me. All right, I was making sure you're awake. Just making sure you're awake. Mostly from me, right? I get it. Right, amen, she says, yes. Right, we pass on our sin nature to our kids. And you never have to teach a child how to be bad. You have to teach them how to be good. Why? Because we're sinners. Every one of us. We've all thought things that are wrong. We've all said things that are wrong. We've all done things. Every one of us. We are guilty before God. None of us deserves to go to heaven. We are guilty sinners. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. There is none this good, the Bible says. Not even one. Not even your mother. There's none this good. We all need a Savior. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago and He died on the cross. He died for you and for me. So that if we look to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, He will. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from hell. Which is what we deserve. What a Savior we have. Amen? Amen. What a Savior we have. While we were sinners, He died for us. Are you going to heaven? Is Jesus your Savior? Because if He's not, you're going to hell. Because that is what we deserve. Today's the day of salvation. I hope you leave this building knowing you're on your way to heaven. Well, that's what happens when you die. Your body gets put in the ground, and if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to heaven by God's grace alone. Well, what next? That's the million-dollar question. What's my dad doing? Some people believe that your soul just goes to sleep. It's called soul sleep. You're not even aware of what's going on. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach soul sleep. You are very aware whether you are in heaven or in hell. Did you glean from the story? What did the rich man say? He was very, very aware that he was in what? Torment. Did you catch it? He was very aware. And he was very aware that his family needed to be saved. Please send somebody to tell my brothers. And I'm in torment. Can you please have just a drop of water on my tongue? You're very aware. Did you hear what Abraham said to him? Son, remember, look at verse 25. I'm in Luke 16, 25. Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received all those good things. Boy, you ate high on the hog, didn't you? But Lazarus, he didn't get nothing. Right? Remember, your mind is going to be razor sharp. Razor sharp. And when you're in hell, you're going to remember, maybe sitting in this auditorium on February 25th, 2024, and you heard the good news of Jesus, and you said, "Nah, I'm good. Nah, I ain't going to listen to that." And you'll say, "Why didn't I accept Jesus? right? Your mind will be crystal clear. Crystal clear. So, let's flip now, because you see up here we need to understand who the martyrs are. Let's go back. I told you two places, right? So hold your finger maybe in Luke right there, Luke 16. Let's go now to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Now, Revelation is written by John, who was caught up by the Spirit into the third heaven, and he records what he sees and hears, right? This is the third heaven. This is Revelation chapter 6. Let's look at 9. Let's read 9 through 11. And so Jesus is opening up the seals of punishment that'll come on the earth. And look at what it says in verse 6. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And these souls, they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Did you notice that they're very aware, these people who are in the third heaven? Hey, God! Hey, when are the people who murdered us on earth, when are they going to get justice done? Their mind was razor sharp. They're very aware. And they pray to God, right? Prayer is communicating with God. They talk to God. God, we have not forgotten what happened to us on earth. Right? They are razor sharp. So when we die, your conscience is very much intact. I'm looking at this big clock again, and I've got to keep going. And boy, I'm going to turn it back just a little bit, okay? Let me just turn it backwards just a little bit, and that way. Okay. Is heaven, is it a tangible physical place? Flip ahead now to Revelation 7, verse 9. Look at what it says. And I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, and every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. So again, some people have this idea that we're just going to be floating, you know, because where's our body? It's in the ground. My dad's body is in South Carolina. It's waiting on the resurrection day. And so the idea is, so do the people up there right now, my dad, is he just up there floating? Because his body's in South Carolina, waiting on the trumpet call of the rapture. So here we see people standing. If you're standing, you should be standing on something. Or are you just in the position of standing? Well, they've got clothes on. Clothes on what? Well, clothes fit on bodies. And they're holding things. To hold something, you must have a hand. But wait a minute, my dad's body is in the ground. That needs some explanation, doesn't it? If you look at chapter 8, look at verse 6. And then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets. There's trumpets in the third heaven. Look at verse 13. John says, I was looking around and there I saw an eagle who was flying. So we got people standing. They're wearing clothes. They're holding palm branches. There's trumpets. There's an eagle. In Hebrews, it talks about how when they made the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was built, it was a copy or a shadow, in other words, of the real one that was in heaven. And so if we can make our connection, then the tabernacle on earth is a picture of a real one that's in heaven. Because it's a copy. So evidently there is a heavenly tabernacle, temple, sanctuary. The New Jerusalem is up there. It'll come down. The New Jerusalem is a city. These are all tangible things. Heaven is not a just a, you know, we're all, you know, we're just, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's real things up there. It's what it seems like, right? Well, let's get back to this thing about the people. Because if my dad's body is in the ground, what is this about wearing and holding and what is this? Well, that's a good question. And I do not want to be dogmatic. But you know, every time you read about human beings in the Bible, they always have two things. They have a body and they have a spirit. In fact, if you remember back in Genesis, what was made first? The body or the spirit for humans? It was the body. And then God breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living soul, right? Humans have bodies. Anywhere you look in Scripture, humans have bodies. But the body's in the ground. That's right. Well, we do know that there are at least three bodies in heaven. One is Jesus. He has his resurrected body that you could touch. Remember, he told Thomas, reach here your hands. Now, Thomas didn't do it. He said, I believe. But Jesus said, look. Remember, Jesus ate food when he was on the beach. It was a real body. We know Jesus has a real flesh and bone body. We will know him by the scar prints, nail prints in his hand. It's a real body. There were two people in the Bible who never died. They took their body to heaven. Enoch and Elijah, as far as we can tell, have their body up there. So that's three people we know's got bodies. John seemed to have a body. Look at, you're still in Revelation? Flip to the next chapter, chapter 10. Look at verse 9. And so I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour. Now some will say, this is all metaphorical. I don't want to be dogmatic. But I do know what eating is. It involves a mouth. I understand what a stomach does. Is it all metaphorical? I'll let you make that decision. But John seemed to have a body. Lazarus seemed to have a finger, didn't he? Tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water and let it drip on my tongue. Is that metaphorical? Maybe, just maybe, my dad has a temporary body. I do not want to be dogmatic. But when people are standing, people are holding palm branches, they are wearing robes. That's it. Humans always have bodies. Maybe they don't have bodies. And so that would really, we'd really scratch our heads, right? But maybe God has made a temporary body. Cannot be dogmatic. But we know of three bodies up there for sure, it would seem. Maybe we'll have a temporary body. But one day, the Bible says, my dad's body is going to pop out of that tomb, that grave. Sorry, it ain't a tomb. He's in the ground. And when he pops out of that casket that he's in South Carolina, his body, no matter where it went, God will take those molecules and those atoms. I mean, sharks that have eaten bodies and, I mean, they're disintegrated. They're gone. No, God, they're not gone. They're in another form somewhere. But God's going to take that body, wherever it's been, and he's going to... And my dad will have his perfect body in heaven. But right now, maybe there's a temporary body. Well, what's going to happen when we get to heaven? This is the third heaven now. We're not talking about our home. This is the third heaven. Well, at some point, it seems like the judgment seat of Christ will take place, it seems like, in the third heaven, not on our permanent home. The verse here in Revelation 19 says, it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. One day we're all going to stand before God, every one of us. If you're not a Christian, you have said no to the goodness of God, you will stand before God one day and God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. But you will acknowledge him as God. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And you will go to hell forever. What a horrible place. Or, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you will stand before God and he will say, welcome. Thank you for accepting my free gift of salvation. And now I want to reward you for what you've done for me. And this is called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is nothing to be afraid of, although it is a serious place. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You will never stand before the Lord if you have asked Jesus to be your Savior. He'll say, why did you sin right there? There's no condemnation for our sins because Jesus took them on the cross. He took them all. But what will happen is he said, I want to reward you, and I want to test whether what you were doing, what was your motivation? Were you trying to glorify yourself, or were you trying to glorify me? And if you're trying to glorify me, I want to give you a crown. But if you're trying to glorify yourself, you ain't going to get no reward for that. That's going to burn. And so I don't know how it's going to be, whether it's going to be a big screen TV. I have no idea, right? But God, and trust me, we'll give an account. I don't know how it'll be, but our minds will be razor sharp. Razor sharp. And we will remember everything. We'll remember our motivation, why we did what we did, when we did it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll have to give an account. It's a day of rewards. Some will walk out of there with U-Haul trucks of rewards. Work with me. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And some might have backpacks full of rewards. It's a serious day. This does not determine whether you get into heaven. The Bible says that salvation is a gift. It's by God's grace through faith. This is not determining if you get in. God's looking at our deeds. Yes, he is. It has nothing to do whether you get in. It's all about rewards. How many rewards you'll receive. It's basically going to be a happy day. Some are going to come out with, like I said, some will come out with a truckload. But you know what? Our eyes are going to be on Jesus. We're going to be thanking him for his grace. Because we deserve none of it. None of it. That probably will happen, it seems like, in the third heavens. Because it's talking about the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Which probably means they've already been rewarded for their service for the Lord here on earth. What else will we do in the third heaven? We will unquestionably worship the one who died for us. The Bible says, and I think we just read this, that a great multitude, which this is what John is looking at, right? From every nation on earth, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they cry out with a loud voice. Again, cry out with a voice, right? You have a voice, which indicates a body, right? They cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. He is worthy of our praise, and we will definitely praise him. He deserves it all. There'll be a marriage during this time. It'll be after the rapture, so it hasn't happened yet, when God calls us home. There is no marriage in heaven, though. You will not be married to your spouse. I will not be married to my spouse. You will not be married to your spouse. But there, you will be married. It's called the bride of Christ. The church will be married to the bridegroom, which is Jesus. The purpose of marriage, of course, is to procreate, right? To have kids, to prolong the human race. There's no need for that in heaven. There's no need for marriage. Does that mean we're not going to, you know who we are, each other, and, you know, hey, Kara, how you doing? Good to see you. And just, you know, probably not. We'll probably be very close. We just won't be married because we're married to Jesus. My daughters have trusted Jesus as their Savior. We'll be very close in heaven, I'm sure. Kara and I will be very close with our daughters. We just won't be married, Kara and I. But we will be married to our Savior. This is called the marriage of the Lamb to His bride, the church. That'll happen after the rapture. Let's put this over here. Turn that right there. Okay. Now, I know it's time to go. Let me go through a few things here. Revelation 6. What does the Bible teach us about heaven right now? We're going to be the same people. Did you catch it? These were the people that John saw. They were martyrs. They were martyrs on earth, and they're called martyrs in heaven. You will be known as the person that you are. We will be known as the same people. We'll just be righteous men made perfect. We'll be perfect. We're the same people. Cliff will still be Cliff when we get to heaven. We're the same people. It's not going to change. Again, we're going to speak. We're going to praise God with our mouth. Before the rapture, will we have some sort of body? Again, I'll let you make your own decision on that. Did you notice that in Revelation 6 they talk to God and God talks back? We can talk anytime to God right now on earth. We can go to the throne of God any day, at any time. But to be able to look in His face and talk to Him, hey Jesus, can we go for a walk? Is that okay? Come on, Jesus. And you go for a walk with Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is omnipresent. So you know, He could go walking with all of us. You know what I mean? We can go for walks with Jesus. Hey Jesus, you want to go sit down and have some coffee? You talk with God. Wow. Face to face. Face to face. Did you realize how they ask questions? One of the things, we'll be perfect, but we'll still be learning. Hey God, when are they going to get it? Because they murdered us. When are they going to get their justice? We'll ask God questions in heaven. We'll constantly be learning. We'll be learning how great God is. We'll probably be learning how the Scriptures, all things in the Scriptures pertain to Him. Hey God, could you tell me about Melchizedek? He'll open up the Scriptures. That's what it was. We'll constantly be learning in heaven, asking God's questions. Did you see how they raise their voices? They're very rational. They're very emotional. They raise their voices. And they can communicate. We'll be able to do all of these things in heaven. They're very aware of what goes on earth. Question is, right now, does Welcome Detweiler, does Dave Rickert, my father, are they watching right now? That's a good question. The Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses who are what? It seems like they know what's going on earth, don't they? Did you catch that? Hey, God, I'm looking down and I don't know when they're getting their punishment. Did you catch that? So they have some, unless the angels are telling them, I mean, hey man, they ain't got their... Or are they watching? what's going on. I will say that they are wearing robes. John saw them, some sort of physical body. Remember what happened on earth. Speaking of memory, I got to go fast. We will have our memory. We will have our memory. Whether you're in heaven or in hell, you will have your memory. It'll be razor sharp. One thing Lazarus is comforted. You will remember things. Why would you be comforted? You'd be comforted over things that you have feelings over, right? All right, I got to go fast. The rewards that we get when we stand before that big screen, whatever. When we stand before that big screen, we'll remember. The martyrs knew. Angel told them to rejoice over Babylon. Do you know the angels know what's going on? And if angels know, it seemed like believers would know too. If the angels know what's going on, in the story, Abraham and Lazarus could see into hell. Now, I don't know if that'll happen for us, but in the story, that's what happens. You know, we're all going to return with Jesus for the final battle. Do you think one day God's just going to say, if we don't know, hey, y'all, guess what? We're going back down to earth. Oh, really? What for? It's going to be this big battle. And it's going to catch us by surprise? Probably not. Right now, my dad and Welcome are probably sitting up there and they're saying, hey, man, whew, it's getting close to Armageddon. They're probably practicing riding horses because my dad can't ride a horse. And so they're getting ready because they probably know they're watching. It would seem. We'll say this one too. I like this one as I get ready to close. My dad is praying for a man he did for many years while he was on earth. He's praying for a man, and you can add him to your prayer list. His name is Eddie Rush. Daddy's prayed for him since probably in the 80s. He's not saved. He might be in church right now. Not saved. You can add him to your prayer list. Eddie Rush. You know what? One day, I don't know how this happens.
Attention, attention. Eddie Rush has just asked Jesus to be his Savior.
Maybe there's a loudspeaker in heaven. But you know what it says? There is joy in the presence of the angels. It says in the presence of the angels. It doesn't necessarily say the angels are hollering. It says that there's joy in the presence, which means that my dad is going to be doing some somersaults, some high fives with Welcome. Eddie Rush got saved. Yes. They probably know what's going on. They're watching. They might be hoping that today is the day of salvation for you. Saying, come on, man. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Because we want to have a party up here in the presence of the angels. Let's conclude. I got two slides. One, two, and let's go home. Heaven is a real place. And the Bible says we need to set our hearts, but not only our hearts, but our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. We've got to start thinking of home. We got to get our minds off this place. We got to start thinking of home. Being with Jesus. Because what that does is that it changes how we act down here. We start thinking about unsaved people, don't we? We got to start focusing on what eternity is. My dad lived 80 years. But boy, he's got the rest of eternity to be with Jesus. Set our minds on things above. One more, and I'm done. Y'all comfort each other with these words. One day, the dead, my dad, welcome Detweiler, believers in Jesus are going to pop out of that tomb, that grave. And if Jesus comes today, and he can come today, boy, our world is falling apart. We're going to come right with him. And we're going to be with Jesus. We'll always be with the Lord. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. What a future we have. What a glorious Savior. Again, I ask, if you don't know for sure whether if you die today, you'll be with Jesus, today is the day, man. Today is the day. Ask him to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you if you are not sure. Make today that day where you know for sure. Let's pray. Thank you for your patience. Lord, thank you for your word. It's a comfort to us, God. Your word is a comfort because we don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve any of it. And yet that's what you, by your grace, has provided for us. Lord, help us. We fall so far short of keeping our minds on things that are on things above. We get sidetracked. We start loving this world and the things of this world. We're all guilty of that, God. Every one of us. Lord, help us. Help us, God. God, give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden for people that we love who are not saved. Speak to those people, God. We want to rejoice on earth, just like the people in heaven rejoice when people get saved. God, we want to see people saved. Lord, we want to see Grove Park Chapel filled up. We want to see Grove Park Chapel filled up with believers. We want to see them filled up with unbelievers who are coming to hear the good news. God, I pray that you'd comfort the believers here at Grove Park, that you'd give them a vision, your vision, of how they should reach out to this community. God, give them wisdom. Give them encouragement. Give them courage. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. And Lord, if there's anybody here today, Lord, oh God, you know souls, you know. May the Holy Spirit just start convicting them, Lord, and just showing them their need. God, we'd love for them to get saved today. Keep bringing them out. Keep bringing them out. So God, give us a great week. Give us a week which we thank you and praise you for all you've done, because you're worthy of all of it. So we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing a song.